Well, good morning, everyone, and good morning over in the gym. Hope you all having a great day. Let's all stand and let's sing. We're going to ask the question, is he worthy? Remember, you all sing right after me. So everything in parentheses, you all repeat that really loud, please. One. Feel the world is broken. Do you feel the shadows deepen? And do you know that all the dark will stop a light from getting through? Do you wish that you could see it all made new? Is all creation groaning? Is a new creation coming? Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? Is it good that we remind ourselves of it? Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break through and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah conquered the grave. He's David's root and the Lamb who ransomed the slave. Is he worthy? Our God intend to dwell again with us. Yeah. Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah.
Well, it's good to have you in the Lord's house with us today and worshiping together. Things are so different, aren't they? We're just in a different time than I ever anticipated us being in. Let me lead us in a word of prayer and we'll continue to worship. Father, we thank you and praise you for the day that you've given us, for every blessing of life, for your mercy and your goodness and kindness toward us. Lord, we want to pray for those that are sick, those that are in the hospitals, the nursing homes that are having a difficult time, difficult days. We pray for your healing to be upon their bodies. We pray that you would speak to our hearts today as only you can. Lord, that you would draw us to yourself and that your will would be done here today in all of our lives. If there's one here today that does not know you as Savior, that this would be the day of salvation for that individual. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
All right. At Calvary. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. I'm using a drum machine today. Mr. Tom is not feeling well. He's doing good, but just taking a break. And big shout out to Tom. Hope you're doing well. So I don't have to do this.
Cross where thou hast
Through the eyes of men, it seems there's so much we have lost. We call out to dry bones, come alive. Through the eyes of men, it seems there's so much we have lost. As we look down the road where all the prodigals have walked, one by one the enemy has whispered lies and led them off to have slain. Know that you are God, yours is the victory. We know there is more to come that we may not yet see. So with faith you've given us, we'll step into the valley unafraid. We call out to dry bones, come alive, come alive. We call song for you. I think some of you might have heard this song. It basically says, we're going to see a victory. I'm going to see a victory. I'm going to see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. Thank you. Seated, please.
Gwen and I certainly want to express our appreciation for the Pastor Appreciation Month. I've thought about this quite a bit. I wonder if it was a pastor that came up with that idea that we would make the month of October Pastor Appreciation Month. Have you read the recent news on that, though? Have you been keeping up with Arkansas Baptist? And you know what I'm going to say, right? Okay, I won't say it then. Brother Travis, come and share with us.
Good morning. God's great, isn't he? I stood up before y'all about 2016, I think, was a year after Brother Lanny was giving his altar speech, and he said, "Where are you going to be when your heart stops?" Well, I've had 7 heart attacks and 9 stents in a box, so something inside me said, "You need to get up here." I gave myself to God that day. I've been running from God for 64 years. The blessings that I've received from the Lord is unbearable. I didn't even know there was this side of life. I was on the drug side. I didn't even have friends. I have friends today because of God. I didn't practice this, you know. I'm just saying what's on my heart. I will say that blessing after blessing has been bestowed upon me and Pansy. I would say if I hadn't met Pansy, I probably wouldn't be in church. I don't know if that's God's way of getting me here. I've had help from a lot of the brothers here, Brother Lanny, Brother Greg, Brother Matt. I can name a bunch of them. I mean, it's just a blessing. I'm proud of these two that came up today. I will say this. If you're not saved and not with God, then you have no life. I don't think. I mean, I didn't realize that until the things happened to me. But if you're running from God, you need to get down on your knees and pray and be with, you know, ask him to be with you. He'll help anybody. If he'll help me, he'll help anybody, believe me. That's about all I need to say, except I love the Lord, and I love all you guys, and God bless all of you.
There's a passage of Scripture in the 17th chapter of Luke that I want us to look at today. And I have a reading from one of Max Lucado's, the very gifted Max Lucado's books, Just Like Jesus. And the demonstration that Max Lucado gives in his book is of a different occasion than what I'm preaching on today. I'm preaching on the 10 lepers, and his definition is talking about the one, but each one of those are individuals. I read this book 20 years ago. Actually, 19 years ago, and it really impressed me, really spoke to my heart, and especially this little section on the leper and his definition of the leper. So he says, "For 5 years, no one touched me, no one. Not one person, not my wife, not my child, not my friends. No one touched me. They saw me, they spoke to me, I sensed love in their voices. I saw concern in their eyes, but I didn't feel their touch. There was no touch, not once. No one touched me. What is common to you, I coveted. Handshakes, warm embraces, a tap on the shoulder to get my attention, a kiss on the lips to steal a heart. Such moments were taken from my world. No one touched me. No one bumped into me. What I would have given to been bumped into, to be caught in a crowd for my shoulder to brush against another's. But for 5 years, it has not happened. How could it? I was not allowed on the streets. Even the rabbis kept their distance from me. I was not permitted in my synagogue, not even welcome in my own house. I was untouchable. I was a leper, and no one touched me until today. 1 year during harvest, my grip on the cutting tool seemed weak. The tips of my fingers numbed, first one finger, then another. Within a short time, I could grip the tool, but scarcely feel it. By the end of the season, I felt nothing at all. The hand grasping the handle might as well have belonged to someone else. The feeling was gone. I said nothing to my wife, but I know she suspected something. How could she not? I carried my hand against my body like a wounded bird. One afternoon, I plunged my hands into a basin of water intending to wash my face. The water reddened. My finger was bleeding. Bleeding freely. I didn't even know I was wounded. How did I cut myself? On a knife? Did my hand slide across the sharp edge of metal? I must have, but I didn't feel anything. It's on your clothes, too, my wife said softly. She was behind me. Before looking at her, I looked down at the crimson spots on my robe. For the longest time, I stood over the basin, staring at my hands. Somehow, I knew my life was being forever altered. Shall I go with you to tell the priest, she asked. No, I sighed, I'll go alone. I turned and looked into her moist eyes. Standing next to her was our 3-year-old daughter. Squatting, I gazed into her face and stroked her cheek, saying nothing. What could I say? I stood and looked again at my wife. She touched my shoulder, and with my good hand, I touched hers. It would be our final touch. 5 years have passed, and no one has touched me since, until today. The priest didn't touch me. He looked at my hand. Now wrapped in a rag, he looked at my face, now shattered in sorrow. I've never faulted him for what he said. He was only doing as he was instructed. He covered his mouth and extended his hand, palm forward. You're unclean, he told me, with one pronouncement. I lost my family, my farm, my future, my friends. My wife met me at the city gates with a sack of clothes and bread and coins. She didn't speak. By now, friends had gathered, and what I saw in their eyes was a precursor to what I've seen in every eye since. Fearful pity. As I stepped out, they stepped back. Their horror of my disease was greater than their concern for my heart. So they and everyone else I've seen since step back. Oh, how I repulsed those who saw me. 5 years of leprosy had left my hands gnarled. Tips of my fingers were missing, as were portions of an ear and my nose. At the sight of me, fathers grabbed their children. Mothers covered their faces. Children pointed and stared. The rags on my body couldn't hide my sores, nor could the wrap on my face hide the rage in my eyes. I didn't even try to hide it. How many nights did I shake my crippled fist at a silent sky? What did I do to deserve this? but never a reply. Some think I sinned. Some think my parents sinned. I don't know. All I know is that I grew so tired of it all, sleeping in the colony, smelling the stench. I grew so tired of the damnable veil I was required to wear around my neck to warn people of my presence, as if I needed to. One glance and the announcement began, "Unclean, unclean, unclean." Several weeks ago, I dared walk the road to my village. I had no intent of entering. Heaven knows I only wanted to look again upon my fields, gaze again upon my home and see and perchance the face of my wife. I did not see her, but I saw some children playing in a pasture. I hid behind a tree and watched them scamper and run. Their faces were so joyful, their laughter so contagious that for a moment, for just a moment, I was no longer a leper. I was a farmer, a father, a man. Infused with her happiness, I stepped out from behind the tree and straightened my back, breathed deeply, and they saw me. Before I could retreat, they saw me, and they screamed and they scattered. One lingered, though, behind the others. One paused and looked in my direction. I don't know, and I can't say for sure, but I really think she was my daughter. And I don't know, I really can't say for sure, but I think she was looking for her father. That look is what made me take the step I took today. Of course it was reckless, of course it was risky, but what did I have to lose? He calls himself God's son. Either he will hear my complaint and kill me or accept my demands and heal me. Those were my thoughts. I came to him as a defiant man, moved not by faith, but by desperate anger. God had wrought this calamity on my body, and he would either fix it or end it. But then I saw him. And when I saw him, I was changed. You must remember, I'm a farmer, not a poet, so I cannot find the words to describe what I saw. All I can say is that the Judean mornings are sometimes so fresh and the sunrise so glorious that to look at them is to forget the heat of the day before and the hurt of the times past. When I looked at his face, I saw a Judean morning. Before he spoke, I knew he cared. Somehow, I knew he hated this disease as much as, no, more than I hate it. My rage became trust, and my anger became hope. From behind a rock, I watched him descend a hill. Throngs of people followed him. I waited until he was only paces from me, then I stepped out. "Master?" He stopped and looked in my direction, as did dozens of others. A flood of fear swept across the crowd. Arms flew in front of faces. Children ducked behind parents. "Unclean," someone shouted. Again, I don't blame them. I was a huddled mass of death. But I scarcely heard them. I scarcely saw them. Their panic I'd seen 1,000 times. His compassion, however, I'd never beheld. Everyone stepped back except him. He stepped toward me. Toward me. 5 years ago, my wife had stepped toward me. She was the last to do so. Now he did. I did not move. I just spoke. "Lord, you can heal me if you will." Had he healed me with a word, I would have been thrilled. Had he cured me with a prayer, I would have rejoiced. But he wasn't satisfied with speaking to me. He drew me near to me. He touched me. 5 years ago, my wife had touched me. No one had touched me since until today. I will. His words
were as tender as his touch. Be healed. Energy flooded my body like water through a furrowed field. In an instant, in a moment, I felt warmth where there had been numbness. I felt strength where there had been apathy. My back straightened and my head lifted. Where I had been eye level with his belt, I now stood eye level with his face, his smile, his smiling face. He cupped his hands on my cheeks and drew me near. I could feel the warmth of his breath. And see the witness in his eyes. Don't tell anyone about this, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded for people who are made well. That's a sermon all in its own. This will show the people what I have done. And so that is where I'm going. I'll show myself to the priest and embrace him. I will show myself to my wife and I will embrace her. I will pick up my daughter and I will embrace her. And I will never forget the one who dared to touch me. He could have healed me with a word, but he wanted to do more than heal me. He wanted to honor me. He wanted to validate me. He wanted to christen me. Imagine that. Unworthy of the touch of a man, yet worthy of the touch of God. Now, I know that was lengthy. But I hope it serves the purpose for what we're going to look at today. I believe that leprosy in the Bible is also a symbol of sin. In the beginning of time, sin entered into our world. And death and disease and tragedy entered when sin entered. And we've dealt with it ever since. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke 17:11. Let's stand together. Give you a little break here. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. You know about Samaria, right? No, people didn't go that way. Jews avoided it. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, I want you to underline that or pay attention to it at least. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered, said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They're not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. Notice what he called him. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. You may be seated. I think there's a couple of different possibilities as far as the title of this message could go. We could talk about where are the 9, or we could talk about ingratitude. So I think that most of our time is going to be spent on ingratitude and the importance of our gratefulness of the change in our life. Webster says that ingratitude is a lack of gratitude, insensibility to, or ill return for kindness. So we've talked about the condition of the lepers in this reading that I did. These men had contracted the most dreaded disease of their society. Perhaps AIDS would be a comparison to that in our own society. Cancer, that dreaded word that we hear. But leprosy of that day was dreaded. It's described as a hideous disease. It slowly eats at the body, erasing facial features first, and then fingers and the hands, frozen and clawed before they simply fall off. The feet are filled with sores and become bandaged stumps before they're left behind. And the odor was terrible. The appearance was ghastly. So these 10 suffered the fate of a long, slow, agonizing death, lived in isolation from their friends. Verse 11 tells us that he was one of the community of Samaria. So Luke is specific about giving the location, the geographics of where they were. Verse 18, he calls him this stranger. And that's one of the words that we pick up from the New Testament when it talks about the lost person. The person that is without God is a stranger. He's a stranger. He's without hope, Ephesians 2:12 says. It gives us a good description of the lost man and sin. Now I want us to look at the attitude of the lepers. The Bible says that as they went, they were cleansed. At the point of the command, they were still lepers. It was as they went. Many of us never get to that point where we make the journey to the priest. And we never get to experience the forgiveness because we never step out in that point of faith in our life. As they went. The Bible says, as God quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, in Romans 4 and verse 17. We serve a Lord that is able to call those things that are not as though they were, no matter what the situation is in our life, no matter how dramatic that situation is in our life, that God is able to call those things that are not as though they are, or vice versa, whatever the need might be. Verse 14 says, as they went. So faith is as you go, as you go. As you go. Is that not really the definition of faith? As you go? The Bible says that we're saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And, when does a man get saved? Does he get saved when he gets on his knees here and he begins the sinner's prayer and asks the Lord to forgive him of his sin or her sin? Or is it as they go, as they step from that point of lostness and say, I'll follow Jesus, I'm going to follow Jesus? In my own life, I was seated in a pew in a little Methodist church down at St. Joe, Arkansas. They don't have church there anymore. But the preacher had preached, and I don't remember anything that he said. But the invitation was given for folks to respond and become Christians, accept Christ as their Savior. And I knew zero about the Bible. I knew zero about church. But I wanted it. And I stood up and I went forward in that service. Was it as I went? I don't know. I got on my knees and no one dealt with me. I want to make sure that people deal with folks that come forward. If they have questions or if we can be with them. No one prayed with me. How did I know what to say? I asked the Lord to forgive me of my sin, be my Savior. That's all I knew. That's all I knew. And He changed my life. As we go, Romans 1 says it's from faith to faith. That as we take one step of faith, that the Lord gives us faith to take this next step. Now, I don't know where you're at in your Christian life, but I know that God would have you to begin to take the steps to do what the Lord would have you to do. The one step is the beginning of any journey that we might take. Move forward in His name. Take that step. Move forward in His name. And let's look at, would you look with me at Ephesians, the fourth chapter? Look down at verse 22. Ephesians 4, and look at verse 22. This is what happens in the life of a Christian, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, that you take it off, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And literally, continue being renewed in your mind. It's just a continual process. Your mind is continuing to be renewed in your life. I still look the same. I still feel the same. But as I go, I discover I'm changed. Isn't that great? You get the picture of that leper when he makes that discovery. As he goes, he's changed. As I continue this walk in Christianity, as I continue this walk in the Lord, I make this discovery that as I go, I'm changed. I said before that Gwen and I are deeply grateful for the gifts and the cards that you have given us through this past month. Everything, whatever it was, we're so grateful for it. And I'm thinking, you know, I need to be the one giving. I need to, you know, there ought to be, instead of pastor appreciation, it ought to be church member appreciation. The pastor ought to be giving everybody gifts. Where are the nine? Jesus said. Jesus took note that only one returned to give praise. We would think that everyone who would pray would also praise. That's not always the case. There is this thing that I have difficulty, and I know the Lord has done so much in my life. He has blessed us in so many ways. There was an extra healing for the leper. Your faith has made you well, Jesus said to the leper. So the other's got a new body. Bible doesn't record anything about them. They got a new body. They got healed of leprosy. As they went, also just like the individual that went, as they went, they got a new body. They were healed of leprosy. But this man, he got an extra gift. Not only did he get a new body, he received a new heart. And that's what it's about. I'm going to ask you to join us right now for a time of invitation. I'm going to ask Mike to come and lead us. And Tim's going to be here at the front to receive you. Let's stand together. If you're not a Christian, I hope you'll make a decision today to trust Christ as your Savior. If you are a Christian, if you are saved, and you know that you're not following the Lord, I hope you'll make a decision to do that today. Maybe you're not a member of this church yet, and God's dealing with your heart to make that decision. Tim's going to lead the invitation, and he's going to close out the service.
Persuade.